Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin, live from the Discrimination Clinic Studios. We're on North Bluff Street on this sunshiny day. I'm not sure neither of you traveled South Bluff this morning, right? I have Mayor Nanette Billings here in Mello, and there was a fire, electrical fire, that knocked out power on South Bluff, and so those two lights down there by the Auto Mall Drive and all that, they were out. Gnarling traffic and making a mess. So
I didn't know that.
I hope they got them back on. I don't know that, though. And I know a couple of my people,
I
Craig.
I came on
and,
Bluff. Yeah, that day was clear.
Okay.
I wasn't on the boulevard.
Oh, you got off the Bluff exit and came up?
I was actually at the temple, and so I came over.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
I think it was
further south. I think it was further south than that. So, yeah. Well, hopefully they got the power back on, mm-hmm. and the fire didn't sound like it was super serious, but it did knock power out for a while. It is Mayor Thursday. Mayor Nanette Billings is here. She is not
Thanks
in Ghana. She's not in Ghana like the L.A. mayor. Mello was with us, too, today. Mello, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
good to
you.
Have you. It's funny. I was writing down some notes of what to talk about on the show today with Nanette, and she came in and said, you know, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, and they were the exact things that I had written on my notes. Pretty cool. I guess we're on the same wavelength.
There you go. You guys are in sync. I
love it. Well, you know, I mean, it's obvious, a couple of them. And the number one is fires. And you know, I made a joke about the mayor of L.A. being out of the country, and apparently she's a habitual out-of-the-country mayor. She's done this a lot, and this time she got caught. But it's important to have a mayor around when something big is happening. And I know
I am going to go on vacation next month. My husband won a trip. Not one. He earned a trip with his financial advisor and
nice.
Company. So we're going to Kona.
Ooh.
Hawaii.
That's only a week, and it's, or 10 days, I should say. But I don't go all the time, so I'm here. I'm present.
It.
I'm in.
It's worth mentioning, also, you are not a full-time mayor. That is not, you're an all-time mayor, but you don't get paid as a full-time job like the L.A. mayor. That's a full-time job.
Did you see how much she makes?
No.
I looked it up. It was like $330,000.
Oh, that's all. Yeah. Which is right in line with.
My 24 is not, you know, but that's not why you should do this.
Exactly.
Yeah. We actually had this conversation in council a while back. They were saying maybe the mayor, because of the time that I'm putting in, that you know, should be paid maybe the same as a city manager. And not that my value isn't there. In the last couple of days, I've been filling out grants. I've raised a lot of money. We've done a lot of good things for our city, but that's not it. If you have people that are doing this for money, then you're going to have different people run for different motives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just to be honest, if you think about it, who can't do the job for $330,000? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're spending the amount of time doing what you're doing. So if you can learn what needs to happen, anyway,
you could make a case too if we went to that system that you maybe would want to eliminate city managers or that specific job anyway because the mayor was supposed to be doing a lot of those duties, and I think it's a bad idea.
Well, and there's a different role for a city manager, and you can't discount what they do
right,
because it's not the same as a mayor. Like, I'm in front of people, I'm meeting with people. You're the liaison between the citizens and whatever's been, I'm going to say, put through the legislative session of the, you know, to make it into ordinance. There's a total difference. City managers, you're there to manage the people, even though the mayor's in charge of every single employee, except for the city manager, because that's where your council comes in. But there's different roles, making sure the function, the finances. I mean, there's a lot of different roles, and the mayor's in charge of that too. And we still go over all those budgeting and raises, but it's a different role.
I think you need the continuity of a city manager.
Oh, working together 100%. I work with my city manager on a daily basis. every day.
Well, and the city managers I have known prefer to kind of remain behind the scenes and not out in front of the public like you. They like it that way. In fact, I would submit to anybody listening right now, if you could name the city manager to St. George, Hurricane, Washington, and Santa Clara right now, if you could name all four of those, that would be amazing because most people could not do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously, if you live in Hurricane, you probably could name the Hurricane one, but go ahead and name the St. George one. Go ahead and name the Santa Clara one. Go ahead and name the Washington one. Yeah. Most people can't do
it. Jeremy Redd's in Washington.
Mayor.
I was going to say St. George is yes, I know. John.
Dear John.
That's right.
Okay, it is John, but yeah, you didn't get his last name. Okay. And I'll bet you couldn't
remember.
You probably couldn't do Santa Clara. Only reason I know Santa Clara is because I knew the predecessor. I was related to the predecessor, right. And then I know the guy that replaced him. So,
And they're good. They're good people.
They work hard. They're there on the day to day, making the city run. And our mayors here in southern Utah, actually in most of the state of Utah, it's a different role. They are not there on the day to day, you know, disciplining employees that aren't getting the job done or whatever. So
I've been in plenty of those, but that's part of the role is to make sure that you're present and that you have HR taking care of most of those things too. Mm-hmm. But and even in LA, they're going to have a city manager in LA. It's not the mayor doing that job, but it is important to recognize what your role is.
Anyway. All right, so let's talk about fires.
Okay.
Hurricane falls under the Hurricane Valley Fire District. They don't have a Hurricane Fire Department. It's a Hurricane Valley Fire District.
Right.
What does that mean for Hurricane as opposed to if you actually had an HFD, Hurricane Fire Department?
Well, and we have had it for Hurricane Fire Department. It was the other cities that were surrounding Hurricane that needed help. And so if you want to call like St. George a big brother and helping with a lot of things, Hurricane's the big brother and helping these smaller cities with the Hurricane Valley Fire District because it's Leeds, Leverican, Tokerville, Virgin, Springdale, Rockville, and all of the unincorporated, which is Kolob and other unincorporated county. And so it's a large fire district. And the purpose of doing that is to, one, not cost as much for taxes. So when you think about fires, and one of the people that had reached out to me that was asking about this, she had asked about what is the standard or what is it that you're prepared to do was really her question. And really, you have minimum standards. You want to make sure that if there's a fire, you can come and take care of it. Now, if it's going to be a wildfire, there's not any place in the country that can handle a wildfire. You're going to have the wildfire crews and others come in, other agencies come in and help. And so I was explaining to her, we will never be able to handle something like what LA, we would have to call in crews just like they are. Mm-hmm. And some of Hurricane Valley Fire District firemen have gone there to help. And that's what we do is we help each other. When we had floods in Enoch, Hurricane City Police, we went up with our flood trailer and help. When there was floods in Springdale, we go up and help. So we are very cognizant that as a local community, we help each other, interagencies. That's what we do is support that. Because none of us want it. First of all, we don't want to raise our taxes to have an on-call, hopefully that there's not ever a wildfire like that. But we don't want to have people on call and paying those taxes for that to have that cost.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be able to support each other because if there is something, we need each other.
Yeah, we do.
And there's some differences, obviously, in the way the fires spread. They had the Santa Ana winds. They had a lot of ground vegetation they had a lot of rain and then they had it dry out. So the ground vegetation became yellow and it burned.
Sure.
And we don't actually have in southern Utah. I mean, you say, well, it's a wildfire by Sand Hollow Reservoir. Well, no, because there's not the ground vegetation
that you had in these other places.
Yeah.
And
sand doesn't burn.
No, and very small weeds that make a difference. But so that she asked a couple of the things about the infrastructure and how to prevent, because that's really her main questions were like piping, what's in the ground so that you know how the fire hydrants were empty there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of hit her back and just she wanted a lot of things in email so I could like explain it. And I just said, hey, we have pipes that are installed in subdivisions that are up to those standards. And right now we do have water in our hydrants, and we don't plan on taking water out of our hydrants. We plan on keeping water there. We plan on not draining reservoirs and not getting rid of the actual, and that's a blessing. Like in Hurricane City, we have Quail Lake and Sand Hollow. But it's amazing how the district has organized the water to be able to flow from Ivan's clear to Laverkin, Tocqueville, so you can actually push water wherever it's needed, which makes the difference as we are prepared. The other thing she talked about, like fire trucks, and every single fire department throughout our county has fire trucks. Mm-hmm. And so if we have to go there, and usually there's four people on every shift, and two trucks per station. I mean, we have quite a bit of support locally, but if we had to call Cedar or Mesquite or Beaver, they would come.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing she asked about was storage facilities, and we do have tanks. So, and it's part of our ordinances to make sure that we have enough. It's called fire flow. So when mm-hmm. you have your tanks above, that when the water flows down to fill up your pipes, you have enough flow, because it's not just having water in your pipes, it's actually having the flow, the pressure mm-hmm. that's going to be there right. when it's...
When water comes out of a fire hose, it's like, it's intense.
Right,
it's
but you need to make sure that you have mm-hmm. those correct flows, which means that it has to be from gravity. It has to have enough pressure in there. She also asked about planes, tankers.
Mm. That's wildfire.
Yeah, and that's usually through the state. Mm-hmm. We do have some helicopters in our area that they can go and put retardant, but mostly that's going to be through the state. And we actually had a fire over on above Dixie Springs last year, and we had the state that came in with the tanker, with the planes, and dropped the retardant right there, which absolutely helped. And so, yes, there's some of that.
That support is available.
It is very important. And wildfires, we have wildfire firefighters that are a part of our crew and part of every other crew.
Yeah.
They are. And
is
they go, yep, they,
hot shots.
Yep, they jump and go wherever the fires are is where they go. So they're trained. They actually go through a lot of training. Another thing she asked about was an evacuation plan. And this is a really important something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Washington County Water Conservancy District, they have established what's called Yopify, which is something on your mobile phone, and they can target. So
say that again. It's called
Yopify, and it's just an app, but it's something that our city uses, and we can notify a section or an entire city. We can say, and it will just bring up something saying, hey, there's going to be an emergency meeting at blah, 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 or your water's going to be shut off.
So people are going to get a text?
Yes. Okay. Now, if phones aren't working, of course, it's going to go back to the radio. Thank goodness we still have radio.
Yes, thank goodness.
So grateful. But Hurricane City has its own radio station, and I don't know if we're going to recommit to keep that station. We've been talking about it would probably be through local sources mm-hmm. because it's kind of just on a loop right now and it's not super efficient, and so we've been discussing whether or not we should keep that, but it is for emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And then ham radios, we have several operators that come in and we do training. So once a year in April, Hurricane City, we purchase little door hangers, and they have green on one side that say I'm good, or red on the other side that say I need help. And we've given them to citizens, and then we have block captains. And so what we've done is we said in areas, and every year we have the training so that every year if there's not a block captain that's moved or that's not mm-hmm. available, we find another one. And it's through, when I say local, we have three different sections in town, our south, our north, and our west. And so out of those sections, we have one person that's the emergency preparedness person, and then they have, I'm going to say, 40 different block captains to take care of the area. And then they report to that one person. Then those three people for the south, the north, and the west, they meet at the police department in April, and they do it all on one night from 5 to 6. And so between 1 hour, we have one person that walks to every house and says they're good or not, and they hang up the thing or hand them one and say, hey, this is for emergencies.
Nice.
So that's what Hurricane City's done, just saying, hey, we want to make sure we're helping people know, because it's not going to be government that solves this problem. It's going to be people solving the problem, people helping people, neighbors helping neighbors. It's going to be saying, hey, I've got a tree that fell fell over, who has a chainsaw? Mm-hmm. Or I've got water coming into my basement, who has a pump? I've got happened, who has a backhoe? It's going to be neighbors, not the government coming in to solve our problems.
Right.
So,
yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I had on Dave Heaton from the Southwest Utah Public Health Department, and they have a new magazine out this month called Health. It's Health Magazine, but it's about emergency preparedness. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit, Dave and I, about the fact that, you know, when you think emergency preparedness, you think, nuclear holocaust, something really big happens.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Dave and I were talking about is the fact that it's probably not going to be that. I mean, it could be, but it's probably going to be maybe some wildfires in your area.
Or earthquake.
I mean,
there's a lot of, probably not flooding. We're on the bluff, but St. George could get flooding. Other places could get flooding because they're at the bottom of the river.
Right. Sure.
So being ready to go and having leaders with the forethought to go, okay, we need neighborhood captains. We need this dissemination of information, maybe from a reverse texting, reverse 911, I guess they call them. Yep. Those kind of things are absolutely critical. And utilizing technology, like you talked about that app, what was it called again?
It's called Yopify.
Yopify, yeah.
And it's just an app that our city uses to notify the citizens.
And I don't have to have the app.
You just get notified because you have a cell phone.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There's a couple other things that she'd ask about, and I just said, one of the things was she was asking about shelters. And do you have a shelter? And yes, we have in every neighborhood, there's churches, and they would be used as shelters at the time of some kind of a disaster. And also your city facilities would become your shelters. So if there was something where we actually had to, and we have a lot of people that are in our community that have prepared, that have 72-hour kits, that have food storage. And so hopefully they've stored a little bit of water. And we encourage often on our newsletters, please make sure you've got 72 hours worth of food and water that you can take care of yourself for a few hours. Because if people can't get to you to help you, you need to be able to be prepared to help yourself, not just get to a shelter for someone else to solve all your problems. Mm-hmm. Be a little bit, put a little forethought in emergency preparedness yourself and make sure you've got some water stored, some food. One of the comments when I was discussing these, she was asking about water and whether or not it's been tested. And I'm for sure we test our water and make sure it's healthy and
safe
for consumption. But more than that, if there's an emergency, you're going to want to have some kind of something to treat that. If you can heat it, that's great. If you need chlorine, and just a few tablets or a little bit, a couple of drops. And whatever that is, you need to look into that and make sure you're prepared. And it won't come from government. True. It's going to come from you, from helping you and your family.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So there's a bill, this is off topic slightly, but it's about water. There's a bill in the state right now being proposed to ban fluoride in waters all over the state. Now, first things first, we do not put fluoride in our water here in southern Utah, but some people have suggested maybe we should and our kids would have better teeth or whatever. Do you have any thoughts on this? Is this something that has ever crossed your desk?
It has, and I disagree that we should add. Mm-hmm. If people want to use fluoride, they can purchase.
Right. Don't make them.
They can purchase something. There's gels, there's toothpaste, there's all kinds of things that you can, there's tablets. If you want to use fluoride, you can do that. I don't think that's the government's role to make sure you have fluoride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
my grandpa had fluoride in his water growing up. He was a World War II veteran. He died at 84 and had zero cavities, and he attributed it to fluoride, but I have a different view on fluoride.
He never
had a cavity. Not one.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Had all his original teeth.
Well, and there you go. You can also buy it and use it. Believe in fluoride, use it.
My wife had never had a cavity until she got pregnant with our first kid. And then I guess your body, when you get pregnant, is battling just to keep this person alive in you. And it takes resources like how you fight cavities. And she got her first cavities when she was pregnant with AJ.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. some 30 something years ago. So, yeah, I've never been a fan of, and there are some cities in Utah that do put fluoride in the water, but we don't do that at the Washington County Water Conservancy District, thankfully. Yeah. I was talking with one of the guys that is, can't remember his name now, and shame on me, but he runs like the inner workings, you know, of the water, you know, the testing and stuff. And he said, I took a tour of a place where they do add fluoride. He said, it's like three drops in millions of gallons. It's like three drops of fluoride. He said, I thought it was going to, you know, they put some barrel of fluoride. He said, no, there's like three drops. He said, I couldn't believe how little it was that, and people are making maybe a big deal about it when maybe it shouldn't be. But you're right. We don't need to do it.
People
do that.
Can choose.
Yeah.
We're talking with Nanette Billings today on Mayor Thursday here on the Andy Griffin Show. I'm supposed to have Mike Leon for a few minutes with us today, too, but things have kind of fallen. But he was in a hearing, you know, they're doing the confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill, and he said, if I get out, I will call.
Sweet.
If the hearing goes long, I won't call, and apparently the hearing is going
to
long.
I'm flying out Sunday, so I hope to see him. So. We're going to the inauguration.
Oh, you are?
Oh,
we
nice.
Are. We have a little reception on Sunday evening when we're there, and then we're going to the inauguration. It starts at 11:30 Eastern time, so 9:30 here, and then there's a big rally and a parade at 3, then we're going to the ball.
I'm so pumped.
Yes. It's New
what are you going to wear? That's
my
what I want to know.
My husband actually got a text a couple of days ago. And so, yeah.
Nice.
But what are you wearing? Yesterday. Are you wearing red?
It's cream.
Did you buy like a prom dress kind of thing?
I
did. $200 prom dress.
I want to see a picture when you get back.
Okay. Oh, all right,
I'm really
ladies.
Excited. This is going to be fun. And then I'm flying back in on Tuesday morning because I've got DTEC and COG and a bunch of other meetings on Tuesday. So I'll be back for those. But. It'll be good.
Nice. So you're going to the Carrie Underwood concert. Oh, and there's something else going on there,
Jason Aldean's going to be there.
And Jason
Aldean.
Too,
right? It's going to be great.
God.
I'm so excited.
You need to take a lot of pictures, please.
And I hope to see Trump.
Yes.
And I hope to see Mike Lee and John Curtis and Celeste Malloy, all of our good people. So it'll be fun.
I am so excited for you.
Yeah.
Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. We've got a weather break, and we will be back right after this timeout.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Ooh, hear that squeak? Yeah, that was my mic boom making all that noise. But I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. It's Mayor Thursday with Nanette Billings, Hurricane City Mayor, the burgeoning Hurricane City, growing like a weed, so to speak.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Thanks for coming, Nanette. Mello is here as well. Mello is our, she's my friend, my sidekick. She's also a local realtor, and we should every once in a while say, you know, call Mello if you want to sell or buy a house, right, Mello?
There you go. I'm not above that, yeah.
We'll hook you up, yeah. and you work for, is it?
Fathom,
yeah.
Fathom Realty. My real name's Mello D. I have a real name, but
Mello
I go by, friends and family call me Mello.
Yeah. Mello D. Finlinson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And her, I guess your nephew is a former basketball star, current basketball star at Snow College. Right?
Snow College, yeah. Isaac Finlinson is killing it. And he's getting scouted around by some other schools.
Very cool.
And I've got a slew of nephews coming up. There's like 40 nieces and nephews, but I've got a lot coming up that are really good in sports. So
how many brothers and sisters do you have?
My husband has 9 brothers and sisters.
Oh wow!
And they all live in the area, and they all have a lot of athletic children. we're killing it. So Yulsteins and Finlinsons coming up. You better know that they're my nephews and nieces.
All right,
that's awesome.
Very cool. Let's talk water for a minute with Mayor Billings. We had a water leak at our house, and we didn't know about it until we got our bill at the end of the month, and it was way higher than it was supposed to be. And so we called the city, we made some, and tried to figure out what the deal, why we didn't have a smart meter, and we could have found this out earlier. And apparently St. George is working on it. They're doing neighborhood at a time, and our neighborhood wasn't up yet to get a smart meter. But now that we informed them we have a problem, they came and actually put a smart meter in our house. You can actually look on our phone now and track the water use and everything. And I'm curious then, now where are we at out in Hurricane City? Does everyone have a smart meter?
All of our secondary users are connected, and all of the new secondary that we're just starting the expansion, they will be connected. Our culinary, yes, we've been switching over that. And we have an app that people that are utility users in our city can look at. It's called My Water Advisor. And if you call the water department, they can give you your, you can use your account number, you can use your phone number to log in, but it will show you how much water you're using, or if it's leaking, it will alert you if there's continuous water running. And it's a great app. Mm-hmm. So every family can know where they are and if they have a problem. But that's what the Yopify is doing. When there is a problem, our water department will reach out and say, hey, we can see that you have a leak. There's something going on. Oh. And so they can notify them within. They'll usually monitor it for like 24 hours. So sometimes it might not be immediate. If they can see a big problem within an hour or two, they will. But usually within a 24-hour period, they go, oh, there's water running somewhere. And so they notify residents if there's really a problem. But
interesting.
It's a better, it's quick to be able to recognize, I've got water running all the time.
Yeah.
A running toilet or whatever. And you think that's not a really big issue, but usually it's those small things that you go, oh, a lot of water is running away that you're having to pay for.
And we want to preserve it too in this community.
So a funny story about that. So my wife, she loves those, you know, those true crime stories on TV, the documentaries or whatever. And so she's been watching these stories about all these creepers that unfortunately molest or kill women. And she said, when we got this new app, the smart meter and the water meter and the app, she said, now the creepers can see when I'm taking a shower. I'm a little nervous about that. I'm like, I don't think the creepers can see your house, right?
No, unless it's only you. And you have to have, it's a passcode to be able to log in. You have to have your account number, that you set up so other people can't log in.
But you can tell if how much, like if your daughter uses a lot of water in the shower, she's in the shower for an hour, you can actually see the usage go up during that hour. And
really?
You maybe have a little talk with her and say, how about we wash it and get out instead of, going in there and I don't know.
You
I don't
must
know
have daughters like I've had daughters.
I have daughters, yes. And both my daughters had a lot of hair and it takes a long time to wash a lot of hair. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it goes sometimes. But all right, about the drought. I mean, it seems like, Nanette, it's been forever since it rained here. I mean, real significant rain. Yeah. We've had a mist or whatever here and there, but real rain, it's been a long time. Are we okay?
So we need rain. And I've been, everyone I talk to, I'm like, please just pray for a nice steady rain. Something that's, my grandma used to call it a gully washer. And I'd say, you know what, we don't need a gully washer. We don't need something that's just going to wash out everything and be a problem. But we do need light rain. And so I know that water is not created by humans. This comes from God. And so we have to recognize where our water comes from. And it's the evaporation, condensation, precipitation, retention, pulling it out of the ground. And we need rain. And so it's just part of this cycle. And, we need to pray for it. And hopefully we can receive what we need.
I read this fun fact. All the water that ever was is already in our atmosphere. There is no new water being created.
That's
just it takes different forms.
Exactly
it evaporates.
Right.
It goes in the ocean. It goes in rivers. It rains.
We had a master creator that just figured it out before, and he's providing. So sometimes it's just, and the water that comes from here, sometimes it'll be pushed from a different location where they evaporate from. And
then the clouds come back here and we get it back.
We've been really having a lot of winds and hurricane the last maybe 10 days. We've had a lot of wind yesterday and today. No, but before that, and I said, well, hopefully it's pushing some good moisture our way because we need some moisture. And those Santa Ana winds that are causing the fires to really hopefully they will see some rain quick because they really need the rain. And that's what rain is brought in by the moisture. I mean, by the winds. So.
Mm-hmm. We have Zach on next week with the Water Conservancy District, and we'll talk more about this. But as far as the city of Hurricane, this year, even if we didn't get any rain, this year we're fine. But Zach told me, and I will confirm this when he's on the show, if we had a whole year of this and next summer came around, not 25 but 26, without any significant rain, then we would start to be a little bit worried.
Yeah, we're definitely in a drought right now. And we just live in the desert. But we also have to remember that there's going to be times that we have more water, and that's the one of the reasons that we have retention to help us with that, so that our reservoirs can be full and we can have water that we need for the summer. But our moisture content right now is very low because we haven't had the moisture in our atmosphere right mm-hmm. now. But I'm just praying that it can replenish. Because we need them.
Yeah.
And that's when wildfires are really problematic, when we haven't received rain
and then we have
a lot of dry grasses that are around.
Now, Southern Utah has been really good at responding to campaigns to get us to conserve water. We have been fantastic at that. Every time they run a campaign, we save millions of gallons. It's really cool. Yeah. And I asked Zach
Awareness
this.
Awareness matters.
Yeah. I'll ask you this, too. Is it naive to think that that's the best way to do it? Is there a better way for us to, I mean, should there be mandates?
That's not the only way they've done it.
Okay.
I mean, there have been a lot of mandates. When I say that, I'm serious. There have been water surcharges put on every resident. Mm. So people know if they are getting a surcharge on their water, they're using more than what has been allotted to them. Mm. And there's also, besides just surcharges, I'm going to say just fees, impact. The impact fees you pay now are higher than they were before when you're purchasing a lot to build a home. And that's because they're saying water, we're trying to develop more water. So it really comes back to the new residents that are paying for the additional impact that they're bringing to the community. So if you're thinking, well, should we have more? They're being established. Rates have changed. 2 years ago, for the last maybe 5 years before that, it was like 10 cents a gallon, 10 cents for every 1,000 gallons that they were increasing the rate. And last year they went to 13 cents, and this year they're proposing 15 cents. Mm. So there you can see in just the rate, and that's only through the district, not through the municipalities that are providing. And so there are increases. So are you asking if there's mandate? That's a mandate. When you say our cost is going up, that's a mandate.
Right. That means use less or pay more.
Yep.
There's Zach told me one time, he said that we still have a couple of residents in our county that mm-hmm. they don't care. They're going to use what they're going to use, and they don't mind paying the extra money. And that can be, I think, a little frustrating, too. I almost think, man, maybe we should give them an extra fine, right?
Well, hard because, and I can see both sides of this. You have people that have been here 100 years, and they have their property that they put in, they paid their impact, sure. and now they're being told, cut down to whatever we're telling you to do now.
Right.
And they're saying, I was here first, and I was already had
you guys came to me.
And
you know?
Some of them even have their own wells, and they have some of their own. So there's a lot. I mean, they have their own shares for canal, mm-hmm. and they're being told to cut down. And so they're saying, hang on, this is my water. I have the right. Why are you telling me I have to change? And so I understand, and we do want to be able to not have moratoriums, and we don't want to say we're going to shut down building. And I mean, building's 30-40% of our industry. Like mm-hmm. most people are affected. If we shut down building, and it's interesting, most of the people that will say some kind of comment to me about, well, shut the door, or now that I'm here, don't allow that. I'm like, they've been here 2 to 5 years, maybe 10 or 20. But the ones that have been here 100 years are still saying, you know, we have to have more people move in and be part of. And I want my family to be able to stay here. My mom, I love her saying, from the time I was little, she said, we're part of the problem. We had 13 children. I mean, 9 of us live in town. Mm-hmm. You know, 28 nieces and nephews have built homes in town. We are part of the problem. So we can't just go, oh, well, it's for the somebody else's and the whoever's that are coming. It really is hopefully perpetuation of the family.
Right. I want my kids to stay here.
I have three of my children that live in town that bought homes that live in Hurricane. I'm like really grateful for that. And two of them that don't, and I want them to come back.
Exactly. You're like, come back. Yeah. But they're like, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So how many kids do you have? Five?
I have five.
And you have seven?
I have seven, yeah.
I have five. So Brandon Hansen the other day came on the show, and he said he was a lady from Oregon called and wanted to buy property here, you know, a granola lady from Oregon, which is kind of funny. But they got talking, and he somehow had mentioned he has seven kids. And she got on his case. She goes, you know, that's so irresponsible. You are part of the problem in this country. And I thought, how can this lady... you know, I don't know. It's a
personal choice. If you can support your family, then people need to back off.
If you can support them. And if you're,
Well, this life is about family. Yeah. So people can say whatever they want. And people, when they get older, they're not going to say, I wish I wouldn't have had this many kids. They're going to say, I am so grateful that I have this family. You learn from having family. You learn from being around family, from being part of a family is... That's where
you learn everything.
Our whole life, that's what we should be focused on.
And I'm a big believer, and maybe this will get me in trouble, but if you raise your children responsibly to contribute to society, then that is not irresponsible. That is a good thing. And
but then there's also kids that choose, and agency is a big issue. Yeah. You can't make a decision for someone else, and once they decide to do something irresponsible or not contribute or whatever it is that's causing that, you don't get to choose what someone else chooses.
No. And you don't get you can take credit, but it's not really yours to take.
I say I can't take credit for the good things my kids do because I certainly can't take credit for the bad things they choose.
That's true. That's so true.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back to the program. I'm Andy. Nanette Billings, mayor of Hurricane City, is here, as well as Melody Simonson, or Melofini.
Thanks for having
me. Mayor, we want to get some updates on a couple of projects in Hurricane City. First of all, the Veterans Memorial Park. Where are we at on that?
So we've started on the pillars that we're putting up a pavilion. And we're about ready to set the flags. The stone has come in. The granite just got here maybe a month or so ago, and we've just sent the list over to them, so they're going to start engraving on the granite. So soon we're going to see some things coming together. You know how groundwork it takes to do all of that groundwork, then it's just going to come together, but we're still a little ways out. But
okay, I have a question about the engraving.
Okay.
Can you still pay to have something engraved, or are they all purchased?
They're not paid. All of this is donated.
I'm sorry. I thought like you could have one of your service members engraved on and purchase one of the rocks. That's not what they're doing.
It's like just all of the people that have served, if they're alive or if they've passed, are going to be engraved. And every January we'll update list. And so we're just like, if someone signs up from the high school this next year, we'll make sure we're putting them on there. People move in our area, if they've lived here 6 months, that's kind of in our rule. But if they move in after they've served, we will allow them.
That's awesome.
So we're just wanting to memorialize those people that have served.
I think that's amazing. I come from a military background, and my daughter served too. And in Spanish Fork, they let you, there was like kind of like fundraising. Mm-hmm. You could purchase.
Oh, there's definitely fundraising. Everything has been donated. We've raised $370,000. And if people still want to have their name on we're making a donation wall. Mm-hmm. And on that, if they want to, at least $500, they'll be on the wall. So we have people that have given us $85,000. We've had people that have given us $500, and and even $5. We take all donations. We do not turn around or away $1. People want to help our Veterans Memorial. We are trying to, because this is a $660,000 project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, new gymnasium, where are we at on that?
So we've got the groundwork that's almost done. We're ready for the slab on grade probably in about 2 weeks. So it's getting really, really close, but it's going. We have Bud Mahaz is over building and working on all of the underground and connections.
Did we arrive at a target date on that? When
it's
going to be done?
August 31st. We will be done in the summer. Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll have the two courts. That is the Litchfield Family Gymnasium that has the State Bank Gym and the Hurricane City Rec Gym. And then in this new gym, for sure, we have Roger McDonald. He's paid for the doors and windows in this. And so he is definitely a sponsor. And I'm trying to remember the name of his, I apologize that I can't think of the name of his, it's Sonic Windows and Doors, and he's paid for that, so he will be a gym floor sponsor, and then I've sent some things out to a few other companies, and if someone's interested, I'm willing to take them and take their $100,000 and help us, because we will we will, we've kind of committed for 25 years that we will redo the floor and we will put their logo on it and continue with that. So if somebody's interested, we will do it.
That's very cool. All right, we've got about 2.5 minutes. I know it's not much time, Mello, but I know you wanted to ask about what many of us refer to as a mother-in-law house, but it's a, technically an accessory dwelling unit. It's the little, I don't know, you could be a tiny
or
house
upstairs, or connected or not connected.
A tiny house to build in your backyard, whatever. What was your question, Mello?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what are you guys doing? Because I know there's like a housing shortage.
Sure.
What are you doing to help with that governor's initiative to kind of make it more accessible and less bureaucracy to get those?
So anyone that has property that's in a residential single family area can build one. And if you have more than 0.8 of an acre, you can build two. And so, so if you have bigger than 0.8, which is just a little more than 3/4 of an acre, you can have two. And you can have it be long-term. You can have it be short-term. If you build two of the 0.8, it can be one can be short-term, but the other has to be long-term because you can't have, or you can't both long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And that hopefully is solving some of the...
Yeah, no, that's great. And then also with your other things, do we have time?
Yeah,
the other thing that
you
had with vacation rentals being allowed on, you've pulled back from allowing the permits on that. What's that story?
So for a single home, then we don't have a list, and we have not allowed new to build, like to actually become a vacation rental. So it's just if they already have that, they're entitled. And if they sell it, they're still entitled because you can't take away an entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
But on new, we haven't allowed it. It's very difficult. That's probably the zoning that we've had the most challenge with, because it's like having a hotel next to your house and people are out swimming till 2 a.m. and they don't realize you have to go to work. And so it's been really tough. That's all of the complaints for people parking and the noise has been from the single family because they don't have someone that's managing it. They don't have a manager on site.
Mm-hmm.
And so really it hasn't been from the hosting. Whoever has like an accessory dwelling, they can have one there if they live on that site. And so we've had zero complaints.
Right, because that one's managed. Because I live in Santa Clara and there's a home next door to me that actually operates like a vacation rental. And the city hasn't been able to manage that, so they still do it. And I literally saw a bus pull up and like 30 high school girls get out and go into the house.
No, we don't have those same problems.
I would go out of town.
We have a code enforcement and they've been taking care of that.
That's fantastic.
We're out of time. Thanks, Mayor, for coming in today. Really appreciate you coming. And Mello, thanks for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. Open lines.